From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Over the past few years, we've noticed an increase in the number of stories we've covered about the misuse of public lands. From increased trash left at campgrounds to large amounts of junk dumped on public lands, from officials having to close a favorite area hot springs due to vandalism by soakers, to the closure of a road to a local Treasure Valley landmark because of parking abuse, trash, and vandalism. Human overcrowding and bad actors are putting pressure on our favorite camping and hiking and foothills destinations. So how bad is this problem, and how in the world do we solve it? Well, those are just some of the questions that will come up Thursday during the City Club of Boise's next discussion. They're calling it, Are We Loving Our Public Lands Too Much? Joining us now are Susan Buxton, the director of the Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation, and Greg Hahn with the City Club of Boise. I want to welcome both of you to the program. And Susan, let me start the conversation with you. What are you seeing when it comes to the misuse of our parks as well as our recreational lands?
Hi, Jenna. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the radio with you today. You know, when you're looking at our public lands, we look at them from, when we work with all of our public land managers, whether it's federal, state, local governments across the state in our programming at the Department of Parks and Recreation. And one of the things that has happened, especially when you see the influx of people that are not only just moving to our state, which even started before the pandemic, but those people visiting our state, you know, Idaho is beautiful. Idaho is certainly a place where people really come for outdoor recreation, either to come and visit or come and live here. And those of us, my family's been here for four generations, and we've always been advocates of outdoor recreation. But outdoor recreation has always been something that we need to cherish and take care of. When you look at the trash being left at not just in our managed parks, but also in our lands that are, you know, more open to the public, but really don't have managers. I don't know. I recently was up at Warm Lake, Idaho. That's on the federal, on the national forest, the Boise National Forest. And I have a habit that I learned as a child to always pick up garbage. So I filled a garbage bag full of garbage within a little beach there. It's about 50 yards long. And I will tell you that I was actually pretty dismayed at what I picked up. And doing that, I also saw that somebody had vandalized a cement picnic bench and picnic table, and then left a little toy on it, like it was something that they were proud of doing. So, you know, I think that getting the word out to people, you know, we don't want to love our public lands to death. We have lots of public lands in our state, and we're lucky for that. Many other states don't have the amount of public lands that we do. But we don't have custodians in our public lands. We don't have people that pick them up. Even in our parks, our park rangers are working hard to make sure that the campgrounds are clean, the bathrooms are clean, the garbage that is in the cans is picked up and hauled away. And there's a lot of other things they do. They, you know, all of our parks have assets that are cultural assets, they're natural resource assets, they're historic assets. There's a lot of reasons that they are so unique and so revered by the public. That's why we take care of them. But none of them are employed just to pick up after people. So when I see plastic wrappers and the micro trash and all those things, I really want people to know that that's important to pick it up. It's also important for our wildlife and our fish to not have to ingest that. And it doesn't make it any fun when you're trying to set a campfire and find someone's diaper in there. So I think that one of the things that's important that we've worked on is the Recreate Responsibly Idaho program that we did with some other agencies, and that's trying to get the word out again. But even growing up, when you grew up here or wherever we were in the United States, you know, Smokey the Bear's principles still apply. You need to take care of our public lands. It's up to you. Pack it in and pack it out. Leave no trace. All those messages are important. In fact, the legislature this year approved for our budget an additional amount of money for us to just continue to getting that word out about, you know, Recreate Responsibly Idaho, working with the Department of Commerce, working with the Forest Service, BLM, the National Park Service, and everybody else, including our local governments.
So, Greg, what was it about this particular topic that made City Club say, you know what, we really want to dive into this issue?
Well, that's a great question, Jim. And it's funny to hear Director Buxton concerned so quickly to the, you know, sort of people misusing it. That really wasn't even in, it wasn't in my head, and it certainly wasn't in a lot of the discussion. We just see the increased use, right? There's just more people. There's just more, there's more mountain bikers on the trails and the foothills. There's more a mix of e-bikes, and I have one, and families, and, you know, on the greenbelt. There's more, if you drive up to, up any of our, you know, dirt roads, as Director Buxton said, we're really lucky to have a lot of public land and a lot of places where you can go and recreate and camp and find your own little piece of heaven here in Idaho. But it is, you know, certainly gotten harder and harder and harder to find those places on busy weekends. And, you know, you end up plotting your way to, you know, who can get up there on Thursday, who can get out of work on Friday and get up there on Thursday and find our spot. You know, we've all done that. So it's just, I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, the it's just sheer numbers. And, you know, I think she also pointed out, too, that it's not just one. There's no one agency that can just kind of tackle this. You know, you have a literal patchwork. If you look at the map of state and federal lands, you know, you'll if you're driving up to where I've been lucky enough to go a lot, because we have a cabin up by the Sawtooths in Atlanta, you're on a road that's maintained by our local highway district, and then you're accessing federal land. And then, you know, you might pop into a, and if you're driving up the Middle Fork of the Boise River, there's some, you know, private campgrounds and public campgrounds, and it's just a great mix of opportunity, but it's not one thing. And so we got to figure out how we kind of connect to each other and get together and start talking this through, because the one thing we don't want to do is lose it, right? Because we have some amazing opportunities here that you just can't find in a lot of other places in the country.
And I think it's fair to say that, as both of you have mentioned, you know, more and more people have been using these outdoor spaces. I mean, in particular since the pandemic, but also people moving here, and it is not what it was 20 years ago. And with that said, Susan, you know, we've looked at how officials are changing the way that Boise Foothills manage too much traffic. I mean, so they've done things like opening certain trails to bicycles on odd number days and then to hikers on even days. I'm curious, will the Idaho Parks and Recreation Department look at certain ways like that? Are you looking at other options in order to try to get less people to use these resources, at least all at one time?
You know, a couple things about that. When we look at it from a statewide perspective and looking at lots of the different types of user groups that are out there, folks that, you know, from hiking and camping and fishing and you know, over snow use and just a whole myriad of things. And, you know, and as Greg mentioned, e-bikes, that's something that, you know, every one of the state directors of parks and recreation across the United States would all look at those things in conjunction with with our federal land manager partners too. But when you look at what are we doing for the increase in visitation? I mean, to give you some numbers about increase in visitation, we're seeing about a 30% increase of visitation, especially from 2019 in our parks in particular, but across the state, across all uses. And as you may or may not know, outdoor recreation is probably, I believe it's about the second largest economic driver in the state next to agriculture. So it is a big thing that all we're seeing across the state. But as far as the other things we're looking at, you know, the state park system is unique. We are uniquely funded. And this, and I'm getting to the answer, but kind of hear me out here. We do not utilize state tax money for our park system or for our recreation. It is all based on what we call it's all based on fees or what we fees or grants or those types of things. So what that means is campsites, you know, paying for a campsite, paying for day use, those things. So when someone comes into a state park, we don't get our money from any taxes. And so with that being said, we haven't actually increased our capacity. So one of the things, since I've become the director a couple of years ago and working with the governor's office and the legislature, is how do we increase the capacity of our state park system and our recreation facilities plus our recreation programs across the state to better accommodate people who are coming here or expecting outdoor recreation. So with some of the monies that we received in the last couple of legislative sessions, we have planned to increase our campsites by about 400 campsites, increasing day use areas by 25 across the state, and increasing our boat docks and boat slips by about 150 or more. So those are the types of things that we're trying to do. And then we're also looking at how to use same day reservations for our systems for some of our parks. One of the issues we have with our parks is they're so remote that for those types of electronics that we would need to do a day use reservation, we need to get more connectivity into our parks. We're working with Department of Commerce and broadband and some of those things to get some of those electronic and more connectivity to the park system. So that should help as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Greg, before I let both of you go, what are you hoping to get out of this City Club discussion come Thursday?
Yeah, again, it's about finding, you know, one, it's just sort of raising awareness from these different areas. So we, along with Director Buxton, who represents, of course, the state parks, we have the director of the city's Parks and Recreation Department and the director of recreation for the Boise National Forest. So really trying to get a multi-tiered levels of perspective. And really for us, everything's ongoing, right? City, we don't ever solve anything in one of our discussions. We just get going in the right direction. And I think kind of a little bit of awareness, I think, you know, the vandalism and the treatment of the parks, you know, whether that's the Greenbelt or the Sawtooths, you know, it's a pretty important thing. And talking about it just helps us all and keeps that awareness going. And then trying to sort of sort through where some of these, what some of the solutions might be, some of the opportunities that might be here for the state to keep this beautiful place going for generations to come.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming in because I agree. I mean, the more we talk about this and keep that awareness up, maybe that will help with change. We've been speaking with Susan Buxton, the director of the Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation, along with Greg Hahn, with the City Club of Boise, talking about Thursday's forum in Boise. It's titled, Are We Loving Our Public Lands Too Much? We'll, of course, put a link to the forum on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.